Hi, my name is Harold Horgan, CEO of the York Group. For more than 20 years, we've been working with ISVs to help them develop and implement their business strategies. One of the biggest challenges facing ISVs today is adapting their business model to cloud-based technologies being sold on a subscription basis. We have worked with thousands of ISVs worldwide, giving us a unique insight into the issues you have to deal with. Microsoft has asked me to share our experiences through a series of webinars. There are a total of 11 modules covering almost every aspect of the cloud business model, and combined, they are intended to give you the guidance you need to be successful in the cloud. In this webinar, I will be talking about financial metrics for SaaS companies. Many of the financial measurements are different from that of on-premise software companies. So today, I'm going to talk about why metrics are so important and what the key revenue metrics are. Churn is a critical element in SaaS, and we will look at what drives it up or down and what you can do to minimize or even reverse churn. Measuring the customer acquisition cost is critical, because subscription-based models need to be as efficient as possible to reduce the cost of getting a new client on board. Finally, we will look at the cash flow chasm, the gap between your upfront expenses in growing the business and the point in time when you become cash flow positive. Investors that fund SaaS companies are obsessed with financial metrics. As mentioned during my introduction, metrics are more important for SaaS-based companies than they are for companies selling on-premise solutions. Tracking and measuring revenues as well as expenses, growth rates, churn rates, and more. There is a good reason investors and company owners are finding subscription models so attractive. It is the recurring revenues. In the on-premise world, you need to go out and find new customers every year in order to maintain the same level of revenues, much less grow your top line. In SaaS, assuming that you can keep your churn rate under control, you start the new year with the same level of revenues as you ended the previous years, and as you add new customers, the recurring revenue base continues to grow. Unless something goes very wrong, it is almost impossible for revenues to shrink. The bad news is that this takes time to happen. You have to grow the revenues over time, and during that time, you are making investments, sometimes big investments, in order to reach your cash flow break-even point. So measuring and managing all of the components that impact your cash flow is really critical. There are a lot of SaaS companies that went broke before they could even reach break-even. Monitoring the right metrics will give you an early indication of whether you might be heading for trouble, giving you time to take corrective action. Financial ratios determine the value of your company. Customer acquisition costs, growth in monthly recurring revenues, churn rate, they all impact what your company is worth. These are the key metrics and the ones that I will go through in more detail. Different ways of measuring your revenues, churn, which is the percentage of clients that don't renew their contracts, how much you spend to bring in a dollar of revenue, and what you can do to reduce the amount of time you spend in the cash flow chasm. Revenue metrics for on-premise companies are pretty simple. What are your annual revenues and how fast are they growing? In SaaS, there are many ways of looking at your revenues. The most common is the monthly recurring revenues. How much do you collect from all of your clients every month? The annual contract value is just what it says. The amount of revenue a client generates during a 12-month period, regardless of whether they are paying monthly, quarterly, or annually. The total contract value is the amount they are legally obligated to pay you. If they are willing to sign a 3-year contract for $1,000 per month, the total contract value is $36,000. And finally, the lifetime value of a client. You won't be able to measure this until your SaaS business has been up and running for many years, but this becomes a critical number when you're measuring the return on your customer acquisition costs. If you can keep your clients for 5, 6, 7 years or longer, you have a much healthier business than if they leave after 2 or 3 years. Churn has a corrosive effect on your revenues, eating away at the base of your monthly recurring revenues. Churn is a very common term in the telecoms business, but not always understood by on-premise software companies. Simply put, the churn rate is the percentage of clients that sign up for a subscription that stop paying, for whatever reason, whether they went to a competitive product or simply didn't find a compelling need for this type of solution. There are a number of ways of measuring churn, but in its most basic form, it is the inverse of your renewal rate. If 97% of your clients renew their subscriptions, then the churn rate is 3%. As I just said, there are different ways of measuring churn. The most common is the loss of monthly revenues, which takes the amount of subscriptions into consideration. Bookings are the total contract values. For example, a 12-month contract for $1,000 per month is $1,000 in monthly recurring revenues, but $12,000 in bookings. And some companies also look at the customer count instead of, or in addition to, monthly recurring revenues. The customer count doesn't factor in the revenue, so it does offer some extra insight. Let's take an extreme example where there's one client producing $100,000 in monthly revenues and 100 clients producing $1,000 each. If 20 of the smaller clients leave, you would have churn of 20% in your customer base, but only 10% in your monthly recurring revenues. This is a chart from David Skok, a partner with Matrix Partners, one of the leading venture capital firms specializing in SaaS. In this model, he shows a net revenue loss from a 2.5% and a 5% churn rate, respectively. The assumption is that you start the year with $10,000 in bookings and that you add $2,000 in new bookings every month over a 5-year period. At the end of 5 years, you would have lost $90,000 in monthly revenues, revenues you would still have if your churn rate was 0%. Not only is that almost $1 million in annualized revenue loss, but it represents 18 months of sales gains at $2,000 per month. So you can see how damaging even relatively low churn rates can be. Now, how can you lower your churn rate? We will look at two different approaches, the carrot and the stick. Now, the most effective way to keep clients from leaving is to split the sales roles into hunters and farmers. Farmers are often called customer success managers. It is their job to maintain communications, make sure the client is using as much of the product functionality as possible, upsell additional functionality, in general, keep them happy so that they renew. One of the nice things about true SaaS solutions, as opposed to hosted or VM versions of on-premise software, is that you can measure how much of the product your clients are using, where they're running into trouble, or the functionality they never use. By measuring how much they use the product, you can get early warning signals on those that are most likely to leave. An extension of this is to really understand the functionality that makes people stay. What are the features they fall in love with and can't live without? You can't actually have a negative churn rate if you sell more to existing customers. Squeezing out more revenue dollars from an existing relationship can more than offset the revenue loss from churn. In this chart, you can see the growth in bookings if the negative churn hits 2.5%. There are a number of things you can do to achieve negative churn, and as we go through them, you will see why it is so important to have farmers that are working the accounts on a regular basis, something hunters are unlikely to do, regardless of the compensation structure. One way is to increase customer usage. When you look at businesses like OneDrive, a big part of their strategy is to give you new ways to use more storage. A lot of products have multiple tiers, going from freemium to silver to gold to platinum. Again, this is where the farmers are invaluable, helping customers justify using more features that will move them into a different tier. Many SaaS companies have a family of products. For example, a lot of ERP vendors have CRM, HR, and other products that they work hard to upsell to existing clients. But there are also punitive ways to keep clients from moving. A lot of SaaS vendors have moved away from the traditional month-to-month and are locking clients into contracts of a year or longer. They still advertise the cost per user per month, but they have a minimum duration on the contract. Some vendors make it very difficult to get the data back or to migrate it to another application. They force customers to export the data into multiple CSV files, making it almost unusable. Another trick is to require a phone call. A lot of people would gladly cancel a subscription if they could do it online. They want to avoid the confrontation or sales pressure of dealing with someone on the phone. Now, while these techniques are used a lot and they can be very effective, there is a downside. Customers hate it, and they make their feelings known to others in product reviews, social media, online communities. Now, we've talked quite a bit about churn and its impact. Let's look at the other side of the equation, the amount of money you spend getting a new customer to sign up. Customer acquisition costs should include all of the expenses that are incurred during the marketing and sales cycle. It can be easy to underestimate the total costs, but these costs are the investment you make up front, and if you don't measure it accurately, some of the other metrics become much less meaningful. So many startups underestimate their customer acquisition costs and overestimate their sales projections. It is the main reason so many of them go broke. They simply run out of money. The same is true for traditional software companies that are expanding into the cloud. They may have cash flow from their on-premise sales, and they may have people and resources that can be shared across product groups, but if they aren't measuring their customer acquisition costs properly, it will take much longer before their move to the cloud starts to pay for itself. As mentioned, you need to include all of your costs, not just the direct marketing costs, such as AdWords, telemarketing, or search engine optimization. It should also include your overhead, salaries, and everything else that goes into sales and marketing. One of the downloads for this webinar is an Excel spreadsheet with a calculator you can use to determine what your customer acquisition cost is. Once you've calculated your customer acquisition cost, you can measure the return on this investment against the lifetime value of a client. If you're just starting out, you won't know what the lifetime value is, so you will need to make some assumptions. But this is also a good exercise to determine the sensitivity to longer-term churn. Start out by looking at the return, assuming a 3-year life cycle. If the numbers look bad, see how long the average lifetime has to be. The longer it is, the more likely it is that you are spending too much money on customer acquisition compared to the subscription value. It really is a return on investment analysis, and if it is out of balance, in other words, the return you get over time is too low, you have to adjust your model. The standard equation used by VCs is that the customer acquisition cost should be less than 1/3 of the lifetime value, and the lower this ratio is, the better. The corollary is that your sales and marketing costs should not be more than the first year's revenue. But stop and think about that for a minute. VCs are saying that you should be prepared to invest as much as 1 year of revenue to gain a new customer before you have collected a dime of revenue, and then in most cases, it starts trickling in on a monthly basis. Now, I'm afraid that this slide is a bit of an eye chart, but it shows the factors that can make the balance better or worse, and I will highlight a few. The objective should be to drive the customer acquisition costs down while increasing the revenues or the monetization of a relationship. I am not going to go into the marketing aspects. There are a number of excellent webinars talking about how to market SaaS solutions more effectively. But I do want to highlight free trials as a great way to shorten the sales cycle and increase the conversion rates. Also, using channels. And if you have had a chance to watch the webinars focused on channels, you will already know why. Channels aren't just resellers. They include affiliate marketing partners and marketplaces, relatively low-cost ways to drive leads and sales. The thing that drives up your cost more than anything else is field sales. Salespeople are expensive, and unless you are selling an expensive subscription, you should substitute real-life salespeople with more marketing and sales automation. As I have already shown, high churn rates drive down your monetization a lot. And getting more revenues from existing clients should be a priority. You have already absorbed the acquisition costs, so there's plenty of margin from every new dollar of revenue that you can get. There is an old adage that says, you can't manage what you can't measure. This is particularly true for customer acquisition costs. You need to know exactly what your total cost per lead is. Don't leave anything out. Measure and track your conversion rates. What percentage of your website visitors become raw leads? What percentage of those become qualified leads? And at the end of the day, what percentage of qualified leads actually sign? Have a process of continuous improvement, trying to find ways of improving the conversion through the entire sales cycle. Look at the level of touch and the number of touches that are needed. Any human involvement in the process will drive up your costs. I am including the next couple of slides for your amusement. They show the sales cycles that VCs expect for solutions at different price points. The calculations are based on the annual contract value. And according to VCs, in order to be a successful SaaS company, the sales cycle should range from 14 days for an annual contract of less than $2,000 to 90 to 180 days for annual contracts of $100,000. This is a somewhat useful guideline, but tough to pull off. We were working with a group of ISVs that started laughing when they saw these numbers because they often found themselves spending 6 months selling a $10,000 contract. So let's wrap up this module by going into more detail on the cash flow chasm, something I've referred to a couple of times earlier. The cash flow chasm is the gap in timing between spending money and getting money to actually make a return on the relationship that you've established with your customer. The gap will vary greatly based on the factors we have talked about earlier: how much you spend, the level of revenues you get from a contract, and how long the customer stays with you. I'm going to illustrate this from a different perspective, looking at the economics of having one full-time salesperson. In some ways, this is a case of not so good news, bad news, worse news, and then some pretty good news. The not so good news is that it takes a salesperson a while to generate more revenues than they cost you in salary, benefits, and overhead. In this model, we are assuming that the salesperson brings in $5,000 of new monthly recurring revenues every month, and it takes 3 to 4 months to ramp up to 100% sales efficiency. Based on these numbers, it takes an average of 11 months before one salesperson reaches their break-even point. That's the not-so-good news. The bad news is that if you look at that salesperson as a profit center, they were actually incurring a loss every month before they reached break-even, and they have to keep selling for you to make that money back. And according to my friendly VCs, it can take 23 months to make that money back. That was the bad news. The worst news is that the average tenure of a SaaS salesperson is 26 months, which means that you get to start the process all over again. But I did promise you some pretty good news. Even after that salesperson leaves, you will continue to collect the recurring revenues from all of the accounts that they sold to, which produce a great margin for you. This is why so many SaaS companies are moving to contracts with annual payments up front, even what we would call lower-end solutions. This is the best way to eliminate the cash flow chasm. In the enterprise space, there's almost never a problem with annual payments. The companies have the cash to make the payment, and in many cases, they would prefer to make one payment per year instead of having to set up monthly payments. In the downloads, you will find an Excel spreadsheet with a comprehensive financial model that will build out a pro forma based on your costs and revenues as you ramp up. If you haven't built your own model, this is a great way to start. In this webinar, we got into the numbers of selling SaaS solutions. We discussed why it is so important to measure every aspect of your SaaS business, and then we looked at the key metrics you should be tracking: revenue metrics, churn, and customer acquisition costs. We then spent some time on the impact of the cash flow chasm and what you can do to avoid it. I would strongly recommend that you download the worksheets we have provided. If you have yet to build your own financial model, they are an easy way to build out your pro formas. Thank you for taking the time to view this webinar. As mentioned during the introduction, it is part of a series of webinars that Microsoft has put together to help you be successful with your cloud solution. So I would encourage you to view other webinars that cover topics that are relevant to you. You should also feel free to contact me if there are any questions or issues that I can help you with.